cloak on prayers. We'll continue our discussion on the progress as indicated in the original constitutions of St. Catherine Bertone, beginning with spiritual progress and then intellectual progress and then juridical progress going up through the stages of formation. And now we come to apostolic progress that we are gradually inserted, according to this plan, more and more to the services that we render to the Church. In order to do all of this, we need a special grace, and this is what we'll talk about now. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Catherine Bertone, pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in this very varied program, in which competence and expertise are required, then on top of all of that, the vocation is one of contemplation, both intellectual and spiritual, and preaching and teaching and all of these things, it's almost overwhelming. It seems almost like a vocation that's totally out of reach. Well, St. Gaspard does address this difficulty, which is a real one, and it is true, to live fully as a Jesuit or completely as a Dominican or as a Stigmatine, there is a special grace. We all get grace as individuals. Communities get community graces. And us as individuals, we get the grace of God as we try to work out our salvation. So in Constitution number 49, the question comes up, how is it possible to balance contemplation and ministry? Like something like justice and mercy. How do we balance these? It's a perennial problem, the Martha Mary problem in religious life. Well, the society is able to satisfy these many activities and contemplation because of a special grace. And the Jesuit theologian Nadal, who was one of the experts at the Council of Trent, and it seems one of his special areas was the theology of grace. So this special grace of a vocation makes what is arduous and difficult possible. That's for our Constitution 185. This is a very arduous and difficult. And the special grace makes it possible because the Stigmatine does not rely on human strength, on his own strength, but on the grace of the Holy Spirit. So this brings to bring this multiple activity in line with contemplation is not impossible with God's grace. It's something we all need, something we realize our own incompetence, no matter how long we've been serving. Then we have, like in any vocation, good days and bad days, some days when we seem to prosper, and other days when we seem not to be doing very well. But the special grace of this, by the special grace of this vocation, all of these things can be overcome. Well, it certainly is a necessity, as we know from experience. No one, by reason of his or state of life, could ever live piously, let alone perfectly, without special grace of God. We believe there's a grace needed to avoid sin, a grace needed to increase in virtue, and so on. So God does, in his mercy, communicate a special grace to all those who in sincerity ask him for it. Thus, Philippians 1:6, which says, this good work that is begun in you, God will see it through to the end. Well, we think that's the role of this special grace. Grace, in the theology of Father Nadal, in assisting, exciting, assisting, in all that is believed that God is asking us to do. So, according to Suarez, who certainly knew the studies of Nadal, we might be able to say that everyone, by a special providence of God, has a calling. God has issued his word for each and every human being. Christ has died on the cross for each and every human being. And the Holy Spirit offers sanctification to the same, every man, woman, and child. So by a special providence then, there are certain vocations, of course, like married life. There's such a thing, and we read now in the parents of the little flower, how they are going, their cause of canonization has been much in the news in recent years. A husband and wife who helped to bring each other to eternity. Well, that's the providential grace from the sacrament of marriage. But religious don't have a special sacrament just for them, as the priesthood would, or as married couples do. But it is the development of baptism and confirmation with continuing nourishment of the most blessed sacrament, the Eucharist. So there is within a kind of interiority that we need to cultivate and to strengthen. The arduous and difficult challenge of bringing together a most varied apostolic program, a life of intense contemplation, asking for expertise in both areas, intellectual and spiritual, to go through a long period of translation, of formation. All of this needs a special grace to overcome all of these and all the challenges that are inherent in this way of life. So the challenges are both active and contemplative, as we know by experience, are very hard to do. We've known very great preachers who were not good teachers. We've known men who were greatly prepared to help adults, but I know not much help to you. So in the variety of gifts, there's also a variety of challenges. For those, some are really good at spiritual work to be exercised on behalf of our neighbors, and others are very good in practical manners that help us to bring this about, that who enable this. So based on an unusual comparison made by St. John of the Cross, he says, the priest is called the heart of the church, the stomach of the church. These are kind of unusual comparisons. But it seems that through their priests, the Christian people receive them a very positive influence for life and spiritual nourishment. Our goal is, in a much smaller way, is to try to fill in to the needs of ordinary people who somehow came in contact with our Stigmatine congregation, whether they came to study or whether they came for spiritual direction or catechism or whatever it is. So we are asked to try to be available for this. So the special grace of the Jesuit vocation as well as the Stigmatine for us is described in Numbers 185 and 186. Grace is accommodated according to the need of each religious community and each individual. Grace is the more copious in the greater accord with the more elevated the difficulties and the lack of preparation or lack of goodness in the missionary, that God constantly makes up for what we lack to bring about his will. So there is a pretty universal belief that there is a special grace in this kind of a vocation, as it would be in the Carmelite or the Dominican or the Benedictine. They would all have a special grace to see their tasks through to the end. On the part of individuals called to live this life, there is required of them lifelong abnegation, self-denial, continually perfecting themselves, going over the same struggles and difficulties and obstacles. It's only natural that one would get tired of all of this. Well, we don't do it alone. As far as God is concerned, the special grace of vocation is nourished every day, as this vocation is issued every day. It's not just one time when we were teenagers, God called us and then kind of forgets all about us and says, you work it out as best you can. There's a special grace that helps us every step of the way. So the members are more and more disposed and prepared also through this special grace that we believe is present. As we know, it's a very challenging vocation through varied and proper ministries, asking for tendency toward the more difficult or serious apostolates, not that any one of them is light or unimportant. They're all important. But one of the challenges of the Sigmatine is to be able to try to fill in, as a community, the need, to the needs of the bishop. So the fourth Jesuit vow was never allowed in the Sigmatine approval of this Constitution, the definitive approval that took place in 1890. We cannot make a special vow, but what we can do is to have a greater attunement or a greater openness, a greater disposition to a varied apostolic program, to a lifelong of ongoing formation or continuing conversion. The Jesuits explained it this way. In addition to the three vows mentioned by the founder, the professed society also makes an explicit vow to the sovereign pontiff as the present and future vicar of Christ our Lord. This is a vow to go anywhere that His Holiness might order, whether among faithful or the infidels, without pleading any excuse, without requesting any expenses for their journey, for the sake of matters pertaining to the worship of God and the welfare of the Christian religion. It's really laying your life on the ground. Very few of us will be called to blood martyrdom. But we're all called to white martyrdom, if we may use that expression, namely perseverance. The struggle is always, quocumque, anywhere in the world, gratis omnino, without being receiving satisfactory recompense, quodcumque, any ministry of the word of God, and so on. If these are overstressed, we are overwhelmed. There's just no way we can do this. That's why we need chapters. That's why we need superiors. That's why we need one another to work out what we really can do reasonably in trying to serve the church. If each of us tries to be experts in everything, we'll end up being experts in nothing. So the companions then, or the religious, vow not only to go where they have been sent, but to carry out as best they can what the bishop asks for us to do in these places. The sole goal of all of this is to work for the salvation of souls, the propagation of the faith, and the various and proper and more serious those ministries accommodated to our purpose, our total commitment to the church. So, the apostolic mission has a very specific purpose, the salvation of souls and the propagation of the faith. In our own time, you and I may not ever be called upon to fight heresy, but there are so many vague opinions and varying opinions on divine revelation, and sometimes issued by people who know very little about it, or opinions on what the church really teaches, there is asked of us a great deal of humility and more expertise. How can we, with what we are taught and know to be the truth, lead people to some kind of an understanding of what the church is trying to accomplish and what the apostolic mission would mean for all of us at this time? So it's gratis omnino. Well, on a practical level, how do we take care of our old people? How do we take care of those in training? St. Gaspar could have a more literal interpretation in this than may be allowed to us now. He did have certain means and gifts that were given to this, like property and buildings and so on, which we do not have now. One of the great fears of any provincial is if he has to build something. Whereas Thailand has been blessed by God with many wonderful, as have the Philippines and hopefully all of our present works. So without making excuses, if anyone reads the theology of vocations in the scriptures, you'll find almost every one of them did not think he or she was on the level to accomplish all of this. So this is what the special grace does, enables us to overcome our own personal inadequacies. Another great problem is quocumque. I remember Father Samuel Shamil, who went to Brazil for the first time after his silver jubilee as a priest. He was already well into his 50s. He knew a little Italian, but no Portuguese. But down he went with the limitations he may have had and ingratiated himself, especially among the poor. They saw in Father Shamil one of their own. Once in a while, his postulates would get a little bit unwieldy, but his mind and his heart were always in the right place. And that's where he really wanted to die, but he became too much of a care and asked to come back to America to spend his final years. And his final years were there in St. Joseph's in Waltham, trying to discuss and talk with people and trying to be a good Stigmatine confrere, even to the very end. So we might say there's a certain Jesuit manner, modus procedendi. The Jesuits had that expression, what was the founder's manner or proceeding? And this is what we're trying to do in all of these reflections. What did St. Gaspar really want us to do right now in the 21st century, and well into the 21st century? It's more than almost 20% over now, but what does the Lord want us to do? Well, the preaching of the Word of God, as we've seen so many times, really means any communication of God's Word in any way whatsoever. We have a specific manner of obedience in the apostolic mission in the strength of that special awareness, special attunement or openness to the needs of the church, wherever we may be serving. But I've often thought, like having gone around as a part of the General Council, if at the age I was then, 40 or 50, to be assigned to a place where I didn't know the language. Well, I had a very dear friend who was ended up a Maryknoll bishop in Korea. And he used to say so many of the missionary languages must have been invented by the devil to discourage missionaries. But I think anyone who's ever tried to study a language, and I know you who are listening to this, language may not be your first delight, and certainly many of my provincialisms or sayings and so on may not make a great deal of sense to you. So in my own experience, there was a wonderful sister, Winnie, who was from Sri Lanka when I was teaching in Rome, and I was his spiritual director. And I was the concelebrant of her final vows. Her first 25 years, at least, were spent in different parts of Africa. Then, late in her life, she was sent to South Africa to work which involved the learning of another language. And around Christmas time, she wrote and said, sometimes she gets discouraged with this, but keeps trying. And to me, she really is an example of her apostolic mission. She's really working at it, this wonderful woman from Sri Lanka trying to serve other poor people all over the world. So our role is to exercise the apostolic undertakings, this gratuitous service of God and the church anywhere in the diocese of the world, to do the perfect work of priests taking on this apostolic mission, on and on and on with these different explanations that St. Gaspar gives of what our model, our task is. This is Father Bertone's obsequium, meaning a real holocaust, as we read in Romans 12:1, to make of your lives an oblation to the mercy of God. This is, notice in such expressions he has in 185, obsequium prestare, which means to lend your oblation, to commit your sacrifice of your life to this endeavor. So in number 185 is, as I say, one of the most beautiful and most impelling and most summarizing description of our entire plan. So if you ever get the chance, please read very carefully Constitution 185. So this broad interpretation of the apostolic mission is tiring. It's difficult. It requires real intelligence. But as I say, intelligence is not just a high IQ or a gifted mind. It also means one who has really tried to develop ordinary talent to do an extraordinary task. And those of us who have been in school for many years realize that many, many times our teachers might have had to struggle over their material. Sometimes the real brilliant ones would fly over the material. It was very clear to them, where it would never be clear to us, who are like trudging in the sand. Reminds me of that great image of the desert eagle, the Israelites trudging across the desert in the sand that gave way under their feet, would look up and see this beautiful bird just tipping its body and flying for kilometers around them or ahead of them and above them. And it must have been, so wouldn't I like to have the wings of an angel, or at least of an eagle if I'm in the desert? So the broad interpretation is something that we all struggle with, we all try to understand, and we all try to apply to the best of our ability to accommodate ourselves over and over and over again to the mercy of God and the wisdom of God. So that's the special grace. For whatever reason, the educational ministry in the charism of Stigmatines has always been a struggle. Perhaps historically it was because so many people, that was the only thing they could do. The idea to become a Stigmatine would mean you'd have to go away and study very hard state exams in order to teach grammar school. Well, as the years went on, we said, no, at least high school. Then we had the prohibition from St. Gaspar to open our own colleges or universities, but we could teach in them. Anyway, whatever is the reason, it became a very, very difficult vocation. Under Father Marani, as we know from our endlessly repeated struggles we've had in interpreting what does it mean in obsequium episcoporum, Father Marani believed we should all do primarily the parish missions. But when he died, they had a general chapter to elect his successor, and that successor, of course, was Father John Baptist Lenardi. Well, on February 24th, 1874, a house chapter gathered to elect the successor to Father Marani. And there is a very clearly worded proposal waiting for decision to be rendered by the impending fifth general chapter. That general chapter would run from February 25th to 27th of 1874. These are the men who were at that chapter. Father Peter Vignola was the superior general, Father Joseph Marcosini, Father Charles Azara, who was a great theologian, Father Thomas Vicentini, a brilliant linguist, died at the age of 29, Father Louis Morando, who died as Archbishop of Brindisi, accompanied Father Taparelli in teaching Pius XII and John XXIII, Father Peter Beltrami, Father Lawrence Bassini, another man Father Lenardi wanted to send on his mission team, which never materialized, and we didn't get to America or Brazil for 30 more years. Anyway, and a Father Lawrence Rigetti, they signed this petition. Now, this is the fifth general chapter in 1874, and this is what they wrote. It's a proposal from the House of the Stimite, which was the general house, but not the only house. This is what the petition reads. When various proposals had been discussed and formulated and put to a secret vote, the three following proposals resulted, and the ones this house wants to present to the general congregation. First, the congregation is asked to make a review for the rules for the special offices of individual superiors for the purpose of avoiding the danger of conflicts. They had no legal structure. So eventually they did write to a document of 30 pages, an appendix to part 12, was all the juridical part, and that was the first time of many that the constitutions underwent renewal and in response to the Vatican. Secondly, it is asked that there should be opened an elementary and a high school. If this is not presently possible, it is asked to look into the possibility of opening at least a high school for these three reasons. First, corresponding to one of the principal ends of our congregation that was born and flourished, teaching. So this is considered, of the many apostolic missions, this ways of serving the church, this was considered as one of the principal ends of our congregation. Secondly, this would correspond to the pressing desires of the public at the present time, in which, in the present circumstances, is asking this of us. Thirdly, avoiding scandal and having such a large building here at the Stimite without any scope of public benefit, because of the statement of our Holy Father, let us look into this, Pius the Ninth statement, for the instruction of youth, go to any extreme save sin. So it's very evident that this is a much broader understanding of the principal ends of the congregation. In this connection, it's very interesting that this Father Zara later compiled a magnificent chronicle in which he continued to present this broad view of the apostolic mission. And it was during the summer that he wrote this, or the beginning of summer, May 6, 1875. He repeated the idea in 1877 and again in 1880. He said, "What a beautiful experience this teaching of the fourth class is. These were men that would go around and teach catechism in the summer in the fields. And what an important mission this is. Perhaps teaching catechism is the most useful and necessary among all the missions." So what are we saying here? Father Zara certainly considered teaching as a major aspect of the apostolic mission, just as the House of the Stimite in 1874 considered the opening of a school to be part of one of the principal ends of our congregation. And while nothing came of this particular proposal, it's mentioned later in other chapters, referring back to this, how everybody was in agreement with it, but there was nothing the congregation could do at the time. But it certainly canonizes, or at least incarnates, this broad idea of the apostolic mission, which we should kind of look at as we make our choices through life, as a Stimite. 5 years after this proposal, after the above proposal was submitted, another community, Santa Maria del Giglio, on January 29, 1880, presented a rather lengthy proposal signed by Father Bencherlini, Father Pio Gorizzati, Father Richard Tabarelli, and Angelo Graziani. And this is what they said. In the fourth place, there was a long discussion on a high school education for extern students. And it was asked if it would be out of place to beseech the general chapter if it wanted to promote and decree the erection of a high school, so that there might be gradually continued, we might gradually continue in the role of education and instruction, but we need time to prepare the teachers. And it was found that this had already been decreed or better discussed in the fifth general chapter, general congregation, and unanimously recognized. That fifth one was the one we just discovered. This is 1890. The one I'm talking about is 1874. That it was already discussed then, but nothing ever came of it. So anyway, it was believed to ask the general council that the renewal of these good intentions of the fifth general chapter should be continued, and this petition was unanimously accepted. So these are the arguments that may be found in the translation of the 12 general chapters. I thank you for listening to this very involved and maybe a little difficult to follow reflection, but let us hope to meet again and continue on in this development of the apostolic development in the Stigmatine life. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us, and St. Gashvatoni, pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thank you for listening.